Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, the department led by DG Tshabete. Good morning. Sorry for this delay because we had another meeting from 9 to 10, but we meet very late at 9:30, and it was a very important meeting with the minister. So sorry for that. I think we're going to start our meeting now. I'm welcoming you from Pretoria. I think you've got something for us from Pretoria. Maybe the rain, whatever, cold, whatever. But I think there's something that you're going to give us. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think before I start, I think the department knows us all now at this juncture. Unless there's only one new member now, I'm just to welcome him, Honorable Makubela, a commissioner, but they have promoted now to be a general. He has come to join our committee from today.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, from today. Yeah. He's going to join our committee today, but there are processes of the ATC and so on. But he is our member, our full member of our committee from today. I've got only three apologies in my sight. Honorable Ndwanambi, who is in that Africa Day. Honorable Mabe is writing the exams. Honorable Dibie, I think he's busy with the conference. Cope. Okay, no, I'm joking, but I'm joking, Honorable Makubela.
Okay,
I'm welcoming you, sir, in this committee. It's a very vibrant committee. Mm. I think you will make us more vibrant. Honorable TG, I must welcome you again. I don't know, honorable members, because TG, we received the documents today from your side. And I'm right, honorable West, when did you receive?
Now.
Everybody, they received the documents now. It is our long, long cry in the department. I don't know what's going on in the department. Faisal phoned me yesterday about these documents. He said, sorry, ma'am, but. But I said, what can I do? Because you phoned me whilst I'm in the Eastern Cape, even myself. There is no way that I can send the documents to the members. So we didn't read the documents because I've just received it now. But I think it is, this thing must be corrected in the department. Because last time we chased the department, it's not nice because we are using the people's funds to go up and about. Now when we are chasing you back again, more than 20 members, more than 20 officials back to Pretoria, it's not worthful. So, but it's not nice to us. I don't know. There is a whip of the committee where I think it's going to say a word, but to me, it's not good. But I'm very worried to say, but I will take it over to the committee to decide, but I'll talk later when I've heard what is the committee says about this situation of having documents now. Thank you. Honorable Mhoro. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about the document, Chair. I'm just going to say I agree with you that it's not always a nice situation where you have basic service. With us, not only the situation, but even the culture. When you have basic service, it is not. Visitor is always welcome, always looked after, to always entertain and very much welcome. Now, with this department, is on several occasions that we have had, not in good terms, but that did not mean that we were enjoying it. I must say. However, here you are today, I think you have brought something that is now going to make us all to be happy, to enjoy what you are going to put to us, to comprehend what you are going to put to us, without, you know, minds that are, I mean, this way and that way. And we are glad that you are here today, and we hope that our meeting shall be fruitful. I just wanted to align myself with the chairperson of the committee, because she was not doing this thing on her own. She was doing it with the committee involved. So, as a whip of the committee, I have to say on behalf of the committee that we are welcoming you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whip of the committee. I didn't know that we have got a visitor from Namibian Parliament, a staff. So we have got some visitors. So it means that when I said that, let me chase the department, will be seen as some people that don't behave well. Sorry, I'm very glad that I hold my words. Because I didn't know, Aska told me now that they have got some visitors. I'll welcome you, ladies and gentlemen from Namibia, staff from Namibia. In fact, this is the, okay, I'll see. It means that we have the time to introduce ourselves and also to introduce yourselves also. We are the Committee of Land and Environmental Affairs now, which includes the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries, Water and Environmental Affairs, Rural and Land Reform. So it includes on that in that department. So now we are having the Agriculture, Fisheries and Forests now. I am Nolithando Kwekani, the chairperson of this committee. I've got my honorable members. I've got also the department, but I think if I can introduce my honorable members first, I'm deployed in the NSOP by the African National Congress from the Eastern Cape. As you know, that the national provinces is composed of different of nine provinces. So I'm from the Eastern Cape ANC member. The nice white guy there, very beautiful one, is Honorable Daryl West from Free State, deployed by the Democratic Alliance in the NSOP, a member of this committee from Free State. There's an old policeman there, gentlemen. Honorable Makubela, who is deployed in the NSOP by COPE. He is from Limpopo, I'm right.
Yes, you're right.
He is a member of this committee. I've also have a nice lady there, Honorable Magadla, who is deployed by the ANC in the committee. He is the full member of the committee. She's from KZN. She is the house chairperson of the NSOP. I've got Sibande. We were sitting there. Honorable Sibande is also the chairperson of what? Public services. But she is also the member of this committee. He is a member of the ANC, deployed by ANC in the NSOP from Mpumalanga. I've got the old veteran there, Honorable Mhoro. Honorable Mhoro is the whip of this committee. He just whip us if we make things wrong. He just whip us. He's the whip of this committee. He also deployed by the ANC in the National Council of Provinces. He is the member of this committee from Northern Cape. So I think I've got my three support staff. There's this red jacket, Matilda. She is my personal secretary. And Oscar, a nice gentleman, he is the committee secretary. I've got this nice lady, complexing like me, is Destiny, is the content advisor. I think I must quickly go to the department teacher to introduce your interview very fast.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the members, also to the visitors and my colleagues. I will very quickly introduce the team. My name is Peter Tabete. I'm the Acting Director General for the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Next to me here is the Acting Deputy Director General for Fishery, Dr. Muzeki Sajoyo. We also have the Chief Director, Strategic Support and Management, Ms. Sue Middleton. We also have the Acting Chief Director, Resource Management, Dr. Joanne Augustine. We also have the Acting Chief Director for Monitoring, Control and Surveillance, Mr. Nkosina Titana. We also have the Director, Stakeholder Engagement and Outreach, Mr. Desmond Stevens. And then we also have the Director, Offshore and High Seas Fisheries Management, Mr. Sasa Pea. And then we also have got the Acting Director, Inshore Resource Management, Mr. Dennis Frederick. And then we also have our Parliamentary Liaising Person, Faisal Daniel. Who did I leave? It's everybody. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I'll hand over quickly to the staff of from Namibia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Mr. Johan Frederick. I am serving the Committee on Constitutional and Legal Affairs of Namibia.
I'm
Doris
Alan from Namibia. I'm serving the Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defense and Security. Thank you.
My name is Annalisa Meloro. I'm serving the Committee on Public Accounts, Namibian Parliament.
Okay. Okay. Mama.
My comment is why.
I think, honorable member, it's a very good question, but you just question in the wrong people, because we need to ask from the minister how long are those people are going to act. Because we are sick and tired of this acting. Because it's not sure whether he is going to get the post or not. Honorable Faisal, do you want to say something? Nothing, ne? Okay, I think now. I think, honorable members. Okay.
No, thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that I'm not Honourable Faisal Daniels. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, I just wanted to inform the committee that the Minister has actually held interviews for the posts of DG and CFO in the department, and she has prioritized the filling of all of the senior management posts. So she will soon inform the committee about the Hollywood in the department is being over.
Okay. Thank you, Faisal, for this information. Faisal, this thing of not giving us the documents, it must be really stopped. This is the last day that we'll accept you in this committee, DG. This is the last and last day.
And very last.
So on those words, I will hand over to the department to brief us. Whereas we didn't print the document, we'll try and check what is the document.
Thank you, Chair, and the members again. before we proceed with the presentation, I also want to send an apology to the committee. The late coming of the documents is an issue that we are dealing with in the department. I also want to promise today that it will never happen again. You're going to get all the documents that are required on time. We are taking this issue very serious, so that each time you come and do the briefing, we distribute the documents on time. So we really ask for an apology for this time. We had a couple of issues to deal with and make sure that this thing is understood properly. Also, to give an apology for the minister. The minister also wished to be part of this meeting. And when we left the office, she had also to leave to go to the cluster meeting that she was also expected to attend. So that's why she was not able to come and attend this meeting. She requested that we send an apology for her not being here. Overall, I would also want to say to the committee before we proceed with the presentation, the issues that have been raised by this committee with regard to fisheries are issues that are very critical to us. They are in our minister performance agreement. So these are the issues that we have to deliver on. So we are taking this very serious to come and present to you to give an indication of how we're going to be dealing with these issues, because the minister has to report about them on a quarterly basis in terms of the progress that has been made. We are also finalizing the structure in the department to make sure that things flow properly. Since we have received the last part of the department from the beginning of May, and hence we had so many acting people in the department, but we are concluding on that now. As Faisal has said, Minister has already held interviews on the DG and also on the Chief Financial Officer. And then immediately then we are moving to the other levels to make sure that we have done that. Minister has made a commitment on this on her budget speech that she's going to make sure that these posts are filled. In short, then we will immediately then move to the presentation. I'll ask the acting DDG for Fisheries, Dr. Shachoy, to go through with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair Metsikane and honorable members, I would also like to sing in the same hymn my colleagues are singing, that we really are apologetic, and it was not intentional. But I also want to quickly go through the outline of what we're here for. The team has already been introduced, and I would like to spend a bit of time discussing issues around the strategic positioning of the new fisheries branch within the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And the memo that we got from the committee was that there are two critical issues that we need to come and report on in terms of progress. Was the development of small-scale fishing policy. So we are here to deliver on how far we have come. And also discuss a bit on the roadmap in terms of what's going to happen from now on. Until the policy has been finalized. And one additional issue was around the fishing closure project, which we'll also provide a briefing on, Honorable Chair. We've also decided to brief the committee on certain topical issues so that you don't hear them from the newspapers, you hear them from us, and we are able to clarify some of these issues. And also you will be able to appreciate the work we are putting in addressing some of these challenges. I think honorable members are aware that fisheries and forestry have joined agriculture to form a new department, and all the branches involved had to position themselves so that they are in a position to meet the requirements of the new mandate of the current administration. A lot of work has gone into making sure that the functions which were mandated by fishery, which were sitting in another ministry, were transferred to the new department. And that work was concluded only end of March, even though it's still work in progress. The work entailed us identifying fisheries functions vis-a-vis environment functions and transferring environment functions. If you remember, environment used to have a branch that dealt with marine and coastal management issues. So we had to identify all the fisheries function within that branch and transfer them to the new department. Probably that's the reason why you also have a lot of acting in the fisheries branch, is because we had to reorganize so that we are in a position to deliver in the interim while the minister is prioritizing filling of the senior management positions. One other critical issue was now positioning fisheries as an economic sector to respond to the new priorities of government. And for the department to empower the minister, we had to make sure that we align with agriculture and forestry accordingly. That's why we had said we have identified fisheries to be having an enormous potential to responding to issues around poverty, food security, and economic development. I don't want to go into the details of the statistics that exist in the world and also in Africa and in South Africa in terms of people living below the poverty line. And I believe it was the decision of the ruling party that addressing these issues will require us to reconfigure how the state operates. There are challenges that existed in the fishery sector before, because then the fishery sector was not geared towards addressing the social issues as we are experiencing them now. It was more your commercial approach to fisheries and making sure that the environment is protected. But in the new dispensation, we are saying fishery is well positioned to respond to the five key priorities of government. Our review picked that there are lack of policies for us to drive the work of the department towards meeting those five priority areas. Hence, we felt that it was about time that the small-scale fishing policy comes to play in addressing the plight of mainly your rural communities. What we have empowered the minister with was to develop a draft integrated national fisheries development plan, which will be the blueprint for the minister going to 2015, so that she can be able to deliver on the challenges within the fisheries sector. And like the DG has said, some of the outputs identified in her performance agreements are in line with the work of fisheries, and basically the work that we are going to be presenting today. Briefly, the Integrated National Fisheries Development Plan talks about 10 points that the minister will be addressing. Issues of governance and institutional development, and I think honorable members will agree with me that as a developmental state, in us to deliver what requires a developmental state to do, we need to capacitate the state to deliver and the machinery in itself. Issues of governance and institutions of government that are delivering the services. We need to make sure that we provide technical support services to the sector and prioritizing the formerly disadvantaged. We have identified that within the sector, there are key areas like aquaculture, which can give us more growth in terms of labor absorption, in terms of economic growth, and addressing issues around food security. That's why we are saying the minister will be focusing on that. In the past, our approach to fisheries has always been giving rights, not necessarily making sure that those rights to fishing are turned into economic gains through the value chain. So we are saying fisheries will now adopt a value chain development approach. Hence, we are saying we'll also provide support for that. For us to be able to deliver, we need to have the capacity, but also our capacity to enforce, because currently we're sitting with topical issues that are common, that are public knowledge, that there's a lot of illegal happenings within the sector that we need to curb. And we are trying to say we are even elevating them as high as possible. And we also want to improve the compliance levels within the sector. Because now fisheries will play a key role in food security. Issues around food safety and quality assurance will play a key role. And we need to make sure that we address those issues. Sustainable resource management is key so that we can sustain fisheries as a sector and its roles. But also key is how do we recover economically those sectors or key fisheries that have gone under. One such is abalone. How do we make sure we recover? And later we are going to talk at length on how we are intending to go about it. Socioeconomic development issues and alternative livelihoods for coastal communities. Because currently the alternatives and options do not exist. A fisherman only thinks that I can only fish, or a person along the coast thinks for me to survive is to go to the sea and get a fish. But we are saying we need to start thinking outside that box and trying to provide alternatives. Not everybody can be a fisherman. I think at the center of government programs is issues around transformation. And we are all aware that the fisheries sector is one of those that require attention in terms of transformation. And of course, how do we promote women and youth involvement in the sector? The last one, which is point number 10, is in making sure that there is growth that is sustainable and beyond 20-year or 30-year or 50-year horizon, how do we make sure that we broaden the fisheries resource base by investing in research and also exploring new fisheries? Now, briefly, those are, I think, the issues that strategically are placing fisheries to be relevant driver of five of the key government priorities. Now, I'll briefly zoom into the small-scale fishing policy, which is one of the outputs that will come out of the integrated fisheries development plan. The history behind the small-scale fishers in this country dates far back. And I think their existence also comes with time. I know within the sector there is confusion in terms of the differences between artisanal, your small-scale fishers, and your traditional fishers. And we've decided that they occupy the same space, and basically we will deal with them in the same manner. When the Department of the then Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism introduced the new fisheries dispensation in the 90s, or in the late 90s, through Marine Living Resources Act, little room was provided for those traditional, artisanal, and small-scale fishers. Because then the only existing policy framework was the general policy on long-term commercial fishing rights, which in a way excluded your small-scale fishers. Those communities voiced their concerns so that government can listen to their challenges. And I think that led to the aspiration of the country having to develop a small-scale fishing policy that will also recognize their rights to equitable fisheries dispensation and issues around their sustainable livelihood. So it's all about also disadvantaged people also participating through the value chain. This right was also endorsed through various equity court orders over the past years. Hence, now government is currently engaging with the same stakeholders in a participative process to develop new policy to guide governance and management of the small-scale fisheries in this country. During 2007, a national small-scale fisheries summit was held in PE, where certain institutions were put in place. A national joint task team, which included stakeholders from the fishing communities, was nominated and appointed, and the role was for them to drive the process of finalizing this policy, working together with government. The task team further appointed a technical committee that will oversee drafting of that policy. This policy was recently tabled, I think, beginning of this month, at the stakeholder workshop, where several issues were raised. And now we are in a position of aligning what the policy says with the new vision and mission of the minister, as is ascribed in the integrated fisheries development plan. Further, following the workshop of the beginning of this month, what happened was the department, the fisheries branch, instituted a internal steering committee which will assist the national task team to finalize the work of developing that policy and also ensuring that this policy addresses key issues, as I had said, economic development, food security, and rural development. And also make sure that we design programs and support packages for the fishing communities, as will be spelled out within that policy. This internal steering committee consists of a mix of skills, your scientists, your researchers, your legal people, your stakeholder, your economist, and your communication people, so that the policy can be able to capture all the areas. We are in the process of revising that document as that team, in ensuring that these four areas, as the vision of the minister, are taken care of. That the policy will ensure that we have improved and equitable access to fish to eat, that it will ensure increased and more equitable distribution of income within the fishing communities, reduce vulnerability of fishery-dependent people, and also long-term sustainable fish catches within productive and resilient aquatic ecosystems. Now, since we are at this stage now, what has happened is the internal departmental workshop. We are now in May, where we had engaged small-scale fishery stakeholders through that workshop. We will be briefing the minister, and we had an opportunity, as in now, to brief the select committee on the work that we have done. This will be followed by briefing the sister committee in the portfolio committee. From June, we'll also be engaging further with stakeholders and interest groups on the new direction that the minister has carved for the development of this policy. And I think the process goes like that until we are at a position where we will be in a gazetting the final policy document. But there will be enough engagement and interaction with the people concerned and stakeholders brought as we can to make sure that inputs are taken into consideration. One of the second issues that the committee had requested us to bring onto the table were issues around updates on the fishing closure project. This is basically your experimental closure to Persing. Dr. Johanna Kostein calls it introductory environmental approach to fishing, ecosystem approach to fishing, yes. And I think the work was around declining populations of penguins and the feed around that they are currently using. It's competition of feed for penguins vis-a-vis food for human beings. The people who are catching fish in those areas are competing with penguins. That might lead to an environmental disaster if we don't manage it. So this, the aim of this study was to see what kind of effect does that has. If you close down fishing in those areas, will it have effect on the populations of penguins? Will the feed or food available for human beings to catch there also increase and be of sustainable levels? So basically this is around fisheries like anchovy and sardine. And also it was observed that this eastward shift of these resources, leaving the West Coast with fewer resources to utilize. Hence, experimental closures were instituted. It was in the previous arrangement of the Department of Environmental Affairs, but it's also as important to fisheries management as it is for environmental management. This was only introduced around those colonies where you have penguins living, those islands where you have penguin colonies living. And basically it was in two areas, one in the Western Cape in Dasen and one in the Eastern Cape in St. Croix. Currently St. Croix is still closed. It was a two-year ban, a closure to conduct experiments. In Dasen it has opened. It was closed only between 2008 and 2009. And in St. Croix, it's still continuing. It will end the end of this year. There has been intensive monitoring of penguins that was undertaken during that period. And analysis is further continuing. Analysis is further continuing to make sure that enough data is collected and could be able to inform how do we continue managing resources in those areas. I must also mention that such closures are part of management of fisheries. So perhaps it's how they were communicated, but this was done together with different stakeholders from industry and fishing communities and rights holders who understood the importance of closing down, but some of them are now having back opportunity to go and access harvesting in those areas. I think I've already talked about analysis and monitoring, which was done following those methodologies. Finally, I think I promise that we'll also try to address topical issues that we are experiencing in fisheries. But on a more positive note, perhaps, is to inform honourable members of the role that we are playing currently in the security cluster, partnering with the security cluster department in ensuring that the 2010 FIFA World Cup is safe. They are using our ships, our vessels, which are protecting the waters. Lillian Ngoyi, Victoria Nkanye, and Florence Mkhize are already being positioned at different harbors to patrol the waters there. And also Sarah Bartman, which is patrolling the national waters. They are providing security assistance and information to the security authorities. We are also currently engaging with the departments in the security cluster for us to be able to address some of the challenges we are experiencing, especially around illegal fishing, which is the next point I'm going to be talking about now. So far, the intentions are for us to expand the current program we are having on military veterans, working together with the Department of Military Veterans to create a partnership that will sustain our ability to enforce and combat illegal poaching. But also within the department, we are trying to increase our capacity by appointing more people, strategically linking with other departments, but importantly, creating partnership with fishing communities so that we introduce community policing within those fishing communities. On the issue of abalone, we have sent a CAP memo for the opening of for the conditional opening of abalone fishery. It has been consulted. Yesterday we were consulting with the Fossat cluster, and it will soon go into cabinet. The idea is for us to be able to conditionally lift the ban so that rights holders can access this. Will also link to the minister's bigger plan, where we are talking about recovering of key fishery sectors. In managing this conditional reopening, a recovery plan has been developed, and institutional arrangements have been proposed. And as soon as cabinet approves that, this arrangement will be put in place, and we'll be able to manage it beyond that point. I think I probably covered most of the things, Honourable Chair. My colleagues will be in a position to provide additions where I've missed, but will also like to thank this opportunity to appear for the first time as fisheries at the Select Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your clear briefing about this. It is in our interest. I think if we can take a 5 minute break to have tea, and then after that we'll come for the questions.
Send it to them.
It's the same as the document that they have. called for it, those things that we have put
in some
2007. We must not go to it. India must choose another country. No, it was told me today, it was on Friday, later, they said must choose two countries to go, but not India. No, you have checkers in downstairs, no.
So which, Spain? Nothing. Brazil. And Brazil and where? Cuba.
You must choose one, that one will at least will cover us.
Huh?
We'll cover, so we'll cover it with 1 mile between the business. Which one?
China.
But now, isn't there something next to China we can go to? China and Cuba, I mean, Cuba's on the other side, China and Cuba's on the other end. China and Turkey. Can you see? No problem, I'm going to get the question.
Can you see?
Can you Hello? Hello? Can you see? 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 Can Ich muss was dafür, was wir heute sehen.
Ich bin ein
We are run short of time. We have got a debate at 2 o'clock, so other members want to go and prepare their speeches. So I will give this time for the honourable members to ask questions. I see Honourable Makubela, Honourable Daryl, Honourable Bande.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was listening very carefully to the briefing by the acting director of fisheries. When I checked the definition of a small scale fisheries, bulletin number one, it says fish to meet food and basic livelihood needs. That is on bullet one. Is this definition also covers those who are poaching? I want to get clarity there, because if you poach, you poach just because you are at bullet number one. That's my understanding. For just to get something to eat, you can be termed as a person who poaches. Okay, let us come to the rights of that particular person, the individual's right option under your policy. It says the department will be responsible to issue rights and permits to those fishers. Yes, but it further says that if that it's not granted to that particular person, a person who asks that right for individual fishing, then he may appeal. He may appeal to the day in terms of the MLRA section 238 of the Constitution. And if he's not satisfied, if the decision was given by the minister, it will be final one, it means you can't appeal when a decision is given by the minister. We want just a clarity on those things. Because I want to see our people, the people who are more affected because of hunger, because they don't work. That bread one and this rice also, just to get clarity. Thanks.
Are you through?
I'm through.
Honorable Derek?
Thanks, Che, and thanks to the department for the briefing. Just a few questions. Obviously, I haven't had time to go through this bulky document. There's an abalone recovery plan, apart from for opening an abalone fishery. Well, we know what's happened to the one in East London, the Department of Trade and Industry. I've got a reply from the department. That's collapsed, or they got some infection in the abalone after 5 years. What makes you think he's going to be any more successful? There's been other numerous, unfortunately I haven't brought the list with me, of collapsed fish farms. There's one up on the west coast here, I think near Port Nolloth somewhere, a huge one that's collapsed, all in millions of rands. So what makes you think that you're now going to be more successful than certainly there's been in the past? Thank you.
Another
Thank you, Ma. First of all, I wanted maybe if Ma, through you, you allow me to comment something. I'm not going back, but to hint. I think to raise the question of acting we will direct to them so that they can carry the message to the relevant people. And then also the issue raised earlier on to us is very sensitive. Because of the issue of gender, I'm very covered because you are well equipped, you do have, but not enough. To us, we take it very serious that also coincidentally we are being led by a woman. Don't undermine her. That's what we feel. Because he is representing us all as we are here. The issue of gender, it must be a gender balance. We don't expect a congress of boys only, a choir of boys only. And then I continue with my question. My first question, ma'am, is that in their one of their slides, they spoke about prioritizing former disadvantaged people. My worry is one, from my own little experience, in particular here in Cape Town and some of the areas around the sea, I'll be very much grateful if you can give us the breakdown of how many people up to now have you gave them proper licensing, because people, the disadvantaged people, always they stay with a small scale as if we are bound to stay the rest of our life in the small scale. If you can give us a breakdown, the people who gave them licenses now to upgrade them. And then also, you spoke about traditional fishing, of which myself I'm very much impressed. I'll highlight something. Somewhere in Sotwana Bay, Sotwana, something like that, we had fish crawls. And your report is silence about it. That what improvement, what assistance are you giving to them? Because they are there. It's natural. The small scale. They are using fish crawls. Some people that never saw fish. It might happen among yourself. You've never been in a place where there are fish crawls, where they create a crawl right in the sea, depending on water, when the waves come the other side to bring fishes and the water come back. What are you doing in order to highlight? Because it's also assisting in terms of tourism, etc. It links with the environment, because they are helping us. And then another question, Mama, I was impressed when you spoke about the issue of large decrease of number of African penguins, as if you are doing something. But also there is a challenge around the banks of the sea about the issue of tortoises and some of the who are laying eggs there. In the past, there was a challenge with the people who were playing with their 4x4s around in such places. You never mentioned anything with that. What are you doing in order to assist in that regard? Because tortoises and other animals from the sea, that they're big large because you can't calculate them because they're somewhere there. But in terms of environment, in terms of our commitment global-wise, I think it's our responsibility to take care of such things also which are happening. And the last question, on page 5, the issue of the Trust National Fisheries Plan, can you please elaborate more on this? To the point, plan is very vague and generic. There are no specifics mentioned, for example, agriculture development, where and how will this be done? These are some of the concerns which I wanted to raise. I think I'll come next time again because I've got a lot in my mind which are just coming as they're giving us some of these inputs. Thank you, Ma.
Thank you. Honorable Mkhoro, this is the time for questions. I don't know whether you have one.
No,
also,
you can
carry on. Okay, Honorable Magala, you don't have it.
Thank you, Senator Chairperson. Though I was going in and out, but there's this closure, this fisheries closure project. Have you given the feedback to the stakeholders about this closure that was there, that project, fisheries closure project? What I want to know about the feedback to the stakeholders, if there was any feedback to the stakeholders about that.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone? Question? Or another?
Thank you.
Makube, you want to sum up? Because I'm going to give only one round, and then after that, the department will...
No, it was only a question which I have left by mistake.
Mm.
Can I follow
yes,
that question?
Yes, please.
When giving the briefing, you mentioned about the capacity.
Yeah.
But fairly, you know, this is a roadmap for the new establishment. The committee will have to see your organogram showing everything that, no, this is the capacity I will need. Are you envisaging to have that type of roadmap? If so, when are you going to provide us with it so that we'll be able to see? Thanks. I'm sorry that
another.
Yes, ma'am. If you allow, only two.
Okay, no problem.
Yes. Number one, see, on page 7, the National Small Scale Fisheries Summit, which was held in PE in November 2007, finally led to the draft scales of the fisheries policy in May 2010. Do you think that the issue captured in 2000 are still relevant for 2010, or have they changed? Why so long in getting a draft document out? The last one, ma'am. You see, this thing of, I'm happy that you mentioned some of the shifts which we have for 2010 in particular. I'll put an example. Somehow it was shown that around abroad in Mexico, I can't remember some of these islands whereby some of the people who are busy trucks which have designed a very fast small ship which can, if you catch them, they are able to sink it as well, to drown it. What measures do you have? Do you have, if you can assure us, because it's part of 2010, you have been in page 12, you mentioned something about 2010, about the readiness. If you can assure us those things, which the instruments which are there and some of the issues which are to indicate whether they are capable to capture such things which can happen around our area. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I think I've got some few questions. I want to know what are the actual implications of the fisheries closure project on the fish stocks. We want to know what are the implications of this to the communities. Other question, the draft national fishery plan is very, very vague. Very vague. There is no detail or meet in the plan? What are the time frames for this fishing program? You know, our people are waiting and waiting outside to get to do the fishing program. But I'm not sure. You don't put clear what to say. On such a day, you will finish this. On such a day, you will meet the target. So it's just vague to us. I don't see the Mr. Zone, use that on your department, because we wanted to have the report from Ingoha Irrigation, but I don't see that issue on that line. Who have been at the Ingoha Irrigation scheme, wrote a letter to the department, and I understand they go there, but we want the feedback. But you can also relay the information to the relevant people who went there in Ingoha. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The perhaps the last question, I will relay that.
Yeah.
Maybe to clarify, these are just a branch of fisheries which is based here in Cape Town. Almost 10 questions. I think some, because they are linked, I will deal with them together.
Okay.
And I'll also request my colleagues to deal with other questions. I think there's two questions around small-scale fishery issues around definitions, whether the definitions are capturing poaching. To be honest, yes. But because poaching is a listed illegal activity, that's why we want to be dealing with it when we were talking about enforcement. But it does cover people accessing fishing. The issue of whether the policy which was started being conceptualized in 2007, whether it's still relevant now or not, I think in my presentation I stated clearly that the first draft was discussed and we infused into it the new thinking and also the response to the new mandate of government, especially issues around addressing the 5 priority areas. So we are trying to make it relevant. The issue of individual rights in the policy vis-a-vis community rights, I think we've discussed that at length with stakeholders. Because now we are embarking on a new policy direction that will involve value chain development. And it will also answer the question of our people always staying small, is that we want to grow them. The first thing that Minister did when she came last year was to say, let's identify who is the client. The client in agriculture, forest and fisheries is, you can define them in a form of people who are producing at subsistence level. You can say some are producing at small scale economic level or commercial level, and you can have those which are producing large scale commercial. We looked at that as an opportunity to graduate those who are small scale and those who are subsistence. So it will mean people who are producing for household needs can have an opportunity to grow, to produce at small scale level, that is producing for the local market. But we also want to create a room for them to start thinking beyond that. And remember, it's issues of my capacity or whether I do want to go that route. There are people who are happy producing small-scale commercial, and they will tell you that I'm making enough money. I don't want to risk into going big. So we are creating opportunities for all of them through the value chain. So the idea is for them to graduate from being small-scale to being commercial. On the issue of the opening of abalone. I think the current opening of abalone talks to harvesting of wild stocks. We do have a program on aquaculture that looks at establishing fish farms. And I think we must admit as government and as the country, we never prioritize skills, because the reason why an abalone farm will have collapsed is because we didn't provide the beneficiaries with the right tools and skills. But key to this is the reason why that farm collapsed was because of a disease outbreak. And we know in South Africa we have shortages of veterinarians, let alone skills that are addressing aquatic animal disease issues. We have prioritized that in aquaculture, that we need to start scaling up the current technical capacities we have with the existing veterinarians. 2 years ago, we started a program with China, where some of the vets we have and the animal health technicians were taken to China to study how to basically identify animals that are distressed because of diseases, etc. We also commissioned the University of Stellenbosch and University of Rhodes to also start developing programs that will capacitate our veterinarians to be in a position to respond. But unfortunately, as you all are aware, the country is facing that skill shortage, and we are prioritizing it. And I think it's one of the issues that the minister has put quite high in one of the relations we have with China and also with Cuba in addressing that element. The issue of integrated national fisheries development plan, I understand we didn't provide the meat, but maybe, Madam Chair, on a lighter note, is the reason for us to say we want to come back and to present it in full. Mm-hmm. But it will be after the minister has okayed it. Mm-hmm. We're still engaging. We're still putting meat into it. Mm-hmm. But it was just to reflect the thinking that the minister has on where she wants to take fisheries. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the issue of capacity of the state, it's not only for fisheries and agriculture as a department, but the entire state. We do experience capacity shortages, but I think the acting DG said we are awaiting approval of the structure, of the macro structure of the department, and fisheries is a branch, and that process is ongoing. I think it's at the level where we are engaging with the PSA. And in terms of making sure we have critical capacities, we have been given a chance to start looking at the organizational development and review to make sure that we have adequate capacities to respond. But also it boils down to whether Treasury will provide the funding or not, because we are all looking for the small cake that exists in the country in the form of fiscals. I think the last two questions is the issue around 4x4s, basically protection of our marine life. I think as much as the mandate lies with our sister Department of Environmental Affairs, we can fairly provide a response to that one. And the other one I picked critically was the last question by Honorable Chair on the implications of the closure, which also links to the Honorable Member's question on the implications of the closing of the fishery, its implications on the stocks, different stocks, and also its implications on communities. And I would like Dr. Johannes Verstein to quickly sum up the response.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. With regard to the closures, those two islands that are affected, Chair, are islands that currently do not have people living on them. Dasen Island is a bird colony, and so is St. Croix. And they're only being closed with regard to purse seining. There may be other activities that have not been affected by the closure. Purseining means that you use a particular type of boat with a particular type of net to catch pelagic fish. Pelagic fish being small anchovy and sardines. And they are not, the amount of fish being taken around those islands by the pelagic fishery is relatively small because it's only a 20-kilometer limit around the islands that catching is not allowed to happen. There was consultation with the people whose fishing would be affected. They were actually part of the working group that was discussing the possibility of closure, and they actually did agree to the closures for the periods for which they were actually closed. And there will be further discussions about with them on the way forward. There is a possibility that in order to stem this decline of penguins, that there may be a need to close further islands or to close those areas again in future. But it will be discussed and negotiated with those affected. Thank you.
Do you want it to
follow up to my question?
You've got your own, and
yeah,
then
own,
okay,
yeah.
Please.
I want just to comment on the issue of capacity, where he said it's for the entire department. We know, but the state president said there shall be this division or ministry. Treasury or no what, it's a word from the top, it will be implemented. I want to indicate that, you know, when the state president had said something, it's a policy. It's just like a root growing inside of the crack of a stone. That stone will crack, definitely.
Honorable
Sunday? No, ma'am. Something must be corrected with this committee.
Yes.
I mean, with the department. First, I don't think it's correct to say people, they don't want to develop, they wanted to stay there because they are scared of taking a risk.
Mm.
I request a simple thing. Give us a breakdown about the people who have upgraded, people who you have given licenses. Not to give us a blanket to say people, they don't want to develop. What type of people who doesn't want to develop?
Mm.
I don't think it's true.
Mm.
And then also, I've asked about the readiness of 2010.
Mm.
They never told us about the readiness of 2010. Yes, I know, I saw something, but I need from you to commit yourself so that we can be sure that it's linked, you are ready. I know that somebody else is doing that thing, but from your side, how does it link? How does it interlink? And I've asked also about the issue of fish crawls. I think you've never been there. You've never been there. The thing is about monitoring, whether they do proper monitoring. Whether they do proper monitoring, they should highlight for us whether in their systems they talk to each other. Because it might happen, they are very same system, they don't talk to each other. They don't monitor. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Swande. This follow-up, can you just brief us about the follow-ups? Do we have some answers?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Honorable Chair. I think some of the questions might have slipped by some mistake. I want to clarify the issue of the approach on small scale. It's not that we are saying we want to compound or leave people where they are currently. If they remain small scale, we are not saying they must remain small scale. We are saying we are providing opportunities for the beneficiaries to have options. There are those who want to remain small scale commercial, but there are those who want to remain or who wants to grow to become large scale commercial. We will provide opportunities for all of them. In terms of the numbers, we can provide that in because we don't have the data at the moment, unless if one of my colleagues can provide briefly.
Not exactly in terms of numbers, but we have the number of fisheries sectors where transformation has been varying right across depending on the specificity of the fishing sector, when we allocated the rights in 2005. And we have engaged in a performance review process to do an assessment of seeing how has transformation changed since we have allocated the rights in 2005. If we have seen those targets are still maintained or if they have improved between then and today.
But we can provide in writing the detail on the numbers, specific numbers. The other question is the issue around fish crawls. Dennis.
Honourable Madam Chair, members. I think the question of the fish crawls in Sodwana, it's still being catered for in terms of we have a system going at this moment that we call exemption fishing by subsistence fishers, which will include the people in Sodwana Bay. They are allowed to fish. They are still allowed to ply a long-standing tradition. And they are also part of the small-scale fisheries process. They have representatives on this committee, national task team, representing them. It's all the provinces being represented on this task team. I need to point out that this task team mainly consisted of stakeholders, meaning artisanal and subsistence fishers. And they were driving these options. They were putting all these issues on the agenda. And what you have as a draft policy now is what they have produced. It's coming from the very same communities who have been arguing and been talking to government, saying we need to get also an opportunity to get into this mainstream of fishing. So they are the main drivers behind this policy. And the policy that we receive on the 7th and 8th of May at the workshop is basically their work. It's what they propose. Just to give you an idea that they want to have this community option where they want the minister to allocate the right to a community. And the department felt that, well, we should also allow another option is for the individual, so people have options. So those are two options that we are still going to pursue and discuss with various stakeholders. And in terms of the question whether we have a specific target date, yes, we do have. In terms of a roadmap for subsistence fishing policy, we need to finalize this probably by the end of November. So we want to implement the new direction with regard to small-scale and subsistence fishing. The reason why it took so long, we started off with a subsistence fishing policy because the Act provides for different types of fishing communities or fishers within the Act itself. One is subsistence fishers, the other one was commercial fishing. Now, to link up to the question of commercial fishing, we have allocated rights to about 18 sectors in 2005, and the numbers vary between, for instance, lobster, there's about almost 2,500 rights holders, varying from very small scale fishers to your bigger companies. And the same applies to other sectors as well. And the ones that we are dealing with now in terms of small scale fishers are mainly people who are outside of this rights allocation. They don't have particular rights. Now, we have assisted them by way of giving them exemptions. Eastern Cape, KZN, for instance, they are allowed to fish on exemptions because we're still finalizing this policy. Then we also have what we call interim relief for people mainly in Western Cape, around Western rock lobster and lionfish species and white mussels and so forth, and to enable them to at least to pursue some way of sustenance. And the president asked now to finalize this policy so we can give them a better footing, so to speak, in terms of the law. So that is the pressure on the department to get this thing right, because if we're coming from 207, we can no longer postpone this. We must finalize. But what is comforting in this whole process, whilst the communities have put forward proposals, we now have, with the department being integrated with DEF, have other options now available in terms of extension services, in terms of support, in terms of looking at other sustainable livelihoods. So I think these things have come together in a way that we could not have predicted, but we now find ourselves with additional opportunities. For in the past, the cake was so small, it kept on reducing, because we have the issue of sustainability of resources, overcatching, poaching and all those issues. And we were sort of we're faced with hard decisions. Do we allow more people into the fishery and risk the sustainability of the resource, or do we find other ways of dealing with it? And this policy is now creating, for the first time, I think, an opportunity for us to combine all of this. So, yes, to go back to the question, so Dwana Bay, they are all included in part of this through the subsistence exemptions, and we try to cater for them also in the small-scale fisheries policy.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to make two clarifications to honorable members of the committee and possibly also for members of the FOS estate. When the DDG responded to the question about whether or not poaching fits into the definition of small-scale fishers, I think what he meant was that there are people who are poaching or harvesting fish illegally for subsistence. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the definition in the policy, we are referring to those people who are holding rights, legally harvesting fish. Because even poaching itself can be divided into that small-scale poaching and the large, organized, syndicated crime and so on. Both are illegal, both in terms of the law and this department's view. That's the one. And then I'm, Chair, also more happy that the department provides the, the committee with proper, detailed information around the transformation of the sector, because I think there are probably two views. My own view is that we can't calculate transformation of the sector on the basis of the number or the amount of rights we are allocating to women or disabled people or youth or whatever the criteria might be, because that is definitely not a reflection of the level of transformation in the industry, because we allocate those rights on paper, and you don't know the next day it gets sold to white companies, and it certainly doesn't reflect transformation. So we need to provide the committee with an analysis on that. So that I don't think we are in a position today to tell you we are transformed, ma'am.
Okay. Fine.
Honorable members, Chairperson, thank you very much. I just also want to ask Faisal that this also reemphasize two points that you have raised and the Honorable Chairperson, so that we can just clarify. The one is around the issue about the security and if the vessels that we have is sufficient to chase what you've identified. We have acquired, because in the past, these big vessels, if we just talk about our own work around dealing with the illegal fishing, some of these bigger vessels and the speedboats that we had has been found to be lacking in having that agility and chasing a very organized criminal syndicates, as Faisal has said, when on sea, because the vessels are not able, because of their size, to get closer to the shore, and then your poachers would then play with those vessels. They call it the Red Devils. Recently, we have acquired some customized speedboats that is much faster. And also, if you see on sea, some of these vessels, because of the engines, couldn't go into the kelp that is there because it gets stuck. There's about two or three that has been acquired recently. We have tested them, and they are part of this broader security deployment. With the understanding that we are just a support to the broader security process that has been driven by the security cluster and the police and all of the other security departments. So we, as Department of Agriculture, avail the resources, the vessels, but the deployment of those vessels is part of joint operating centers at the national level. So I just wanted to clarify, but we do have capacity now to chase some of those boats, both in the close sea, and the Sarah Bartman is basically for the offshore. That's the one. The question that you've raised, Madam Chair, I think we were not, and I think the DDG have tried to clarify it. The integrated fisheries plan, there's a much more detailed and specific you correctly said some of those things are quite vague. We've identified those as the goals that were there, but there are specific strategies and interventions that we that is in the plan, which talks about the specifics around the capacity that's needed, but also the budget that's required to deliver on that integrated fisheries plan. So maybe part of our response, and because we understood that we should only talk about the particular two matters, part of our written response should then encapsulate all of these things in much more detail so that the committee can be satisfied that what we're saying is feasible. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think we have exhausted our questions, but I just must thank the honorable members. They're so brilliant because I thought that they're going to say, no, we just hear from you, department, we'll ask questions in writing because we didn't read the documents. But I think they're so brilliant because they've captured something and they've asked something from the department. So thank you very much about that. You know, TTG, we received some letters to the community asking about these licenses and so on, and they are complaining, you know. They are complaining about these things. So I really don't know when the people now resorted to us. They have got a problem with the department. Maybe they don't get the clear answers. Maybe they don't get the clear answers because we are the last resort for the community to come to us. We are the last resort because they are dealing directly to the department. But once they are writing the letters to us now, complaining about the processes, whatever, it's becoming it's not right. As a result, I've received a call. In fact, I've received some a document with a letter of complaint with other gentlemen. I don't know. I forgot the name. Forgot even the surname. And then I just hand over those gentlemen to DG to say, DG, look at this because I don't know about this. I can't answer this because I don't even know about these processes. This morning, the same gentleman phoned me to say, ma'am, because it came about 2 or 3 weeks back. Do you get any reply? But I said no. But I said to them, can you come? Because I don't know. Can you come? Maybe the department is going, and then we'll talk maybe to the DTG or to DG. I'm sure the gentleman is outside. I'm sure he's outside. So DTG, I think must talk to that gentleman because we are here for the people, you know. As the politicians, we are here for the people. So we must answer them correctly. I don't know whether it's the processes or whatever, but there's something that's not right to the community about these processes of fishing and so on and so on. And, you know, we must empower people if they want to do that. We must not suppress them. If they have got a capacity and the capability to that to do those things, please, gentlemen, empower them. There's a lot of complaints that I can't say that what are they saying, you know, about this program of licenses. But they said a lot about the problem of licenses. This is my closing remarks, TTG. I think that because the gentleman phoned me, I see the SMS now, said I'm outside. I think I will just check who is that. I don't know the surname, but he said, ma'am, I'm just outside. I forgot the surname, but I think, please, gentlemen, you must deal with these things at least efficiently. Those are my closing remarks. So for the clarification or whatever that you are going to give us as a department, we are very pleased to have those things because we want to know fully detailed. And as a result, I think after the World Cup, we must call the department again to have more clarities about these things. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, DG. The meeting is not attended because we've got a few sets of meetings, but I will release the department. Thank you very much, our visitors. Yeah. I demand. But I think
you come because this is a public meeting.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I think you must go to
the...
I've
got a problem. Then I have...
Is this a copy for you? Okay, thanks.
They've released the department of
Yes, your copy.
Mr. Sibanda?
Thanks.
Are we going to go through all of these?
Can you take over the meeting for the minute? I'm just busy with this gentleman.
Please, Mr. Mafora,
I must give you the two other points there.
I'm going to go and get my tea.
Environmental stuff, I must give you.
That's the report.
Thank you, members. This is, I'm sure, our last meeting for the day. Is that so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the meeting of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs, National Council of Province. We are going to get a briefing by the Marine and Coastal Management.
Adoption.
They didn't say they should be saying adoption. Adoption of fishery closure project. Adopt minutes of report.
Minutes and report.
Yeah. Who is going to give us? The secretary?
Yes, the first set.
Mm-hmm.
20th of April.
Yes. Yes. This is minutes of Tuesday, the 20th April 2010. Are you all having copies?
Yes.
Have you looked at page 1?
Yes.
Have you looked at page 1? Is it open? What's coming up?
Minutes of the 20th,
Doesn't work.
Oh, the 20th is open.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
What happened now?
Doesn't work. Take that one. That's all of
And that one, thank you.
Which one do you want? There's a
20 minutes of the 20th of April.
Yeah, they can, yes.
Yeah.
It's probably blown a fuse or something.
In page one.
Fine. Yes.
Page two.
Fine.
All right. Page two.
Mm-hmm.
Page three. All happy, page three. Page four. Page four, we're all happy.
Fine.
Page five. All happy?
Good.
So minutes of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs of the 20th April
proposal
has been adopted.
No.
Proposal.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, members. You know, my balance is not there. Is there anybody who proposed acceptance of the minutes? Mr. Worth, Honorable Worth has proposed acceptance of the minutes and seconded by Mrs. Mamagaga.
Yes.
Thank you.
The next one.
The meeting of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs on the 4th of May 2010. This would be a briefing on the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and Implementation of and Progress Report on the Comprehensive Rural Development Briefing. Right. Can you go into page one? Are you all happy?
Yes.
All happy? Let's move to page two. Happy about page two?
Yes.
Let's move to page three. Happy about page three. Page three.
Yes, on page three. Number seven, I don't know if the spelling is correct.
Number seven.
Yes. You spell it correct.
Come on.
Yeah, this is a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. We've
returned it. We've recorded it.
Yeah, all right. Still on page 2, are we all happy now? With the correction of Guanya?
We are.
All right, can we move on to page 4? Page 4. All happy? We all happy? Can you move to page 5?
Yeah.
Yes. Chair, just one thing on the page 5.
Sorry.
The committee resolved that. We just want to bring this attention.
Paragraph what?
The number 19.
Number 19?
Yes.
On page 5. I mean, page 4.
Oh, we're looking at 4th of May.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It says the department, the committee resolved that. One, bullet one, the department forwarded the report on the quality of drinking water in the country to the committee, as well as the report on the status of sewage works in the country. We have not received that yet, but committee is aware of that. I'll just mention it. We have not received those reports yet.
Just hold on.
Yes.
Let's hold on. Hold on, come.
No, Chairperson, I want you to correct that. I'm helping
you. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, I think the point which is raising can be correct.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are dealing about adopting not the matters arising.
Mm.
If it was matters arising from the court, yes, it's correct. But now
we are adopting minutes of the day.
Yeah.
Honorable Worth,
happy?
Happy. Anything on page 5? Are we all happy? Are we all happy?
Yes.
Proposer? The chair, Mr. Kukani, proposed that the minutes should be accepted for correction of the name Guanya. Who seconded
that?
Honorable Worth seconded the chair. Thank you very much. This is the minutes of the 13th May 2010, consideration and adoption minutes and report file. And then, can you start from page 1? 13th May, yeah. You don't have it?
No, we can continue, Chef.
All right. Is there any correction from page 1? Are we all happy?
Yes.
Page 2? Page 2? All happy with page 2?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Proposal of the adoption of the meeting of the 13th May is proposing adoption. Honorable Sibanda proposed adoption of the meeting. You seconding it? Honorable Work seconded the adoption of the minutes. I think these are the how many 3 minutes that has been adopted duly by the committee. Khori Cherry, in the presence of chair, that the minutes have been adopted. What is this now?
report of the eastern coast of we held it over from last week to this week.
I don't think
we're
going to
deal
it now.
I'll tell you
now. Yes. The report,
you
get them now.
I'm not going to make it.
You know, it was issued last week, but others got it now. But I think it's through you, Chair.
Mm.
I think you must give the members a chance because now they are going to put their offices busy, and then in the next meeting, we'll create some other day to adopt to all. And also with the input within the report.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for being so flexible. Thank you very much. This will check on it when we have our chance, because now we are going to have a date. I must make it clear to this committee that, Chair, I really felt that I should have not been here today. I just forced myself because I felt the burning desire in me to come and participate in the world. I come here and there was another urgent matter that also facilitated that, coming from the Constitution House meeting, the meeting that I've been attending early this morning. I got a telephone call here last week Friday. last week Friday, that there is a request from the legislature that is made with the permanent delegate. Now, because of those two issues, I have to force myself to be here. I'm feeling not ready yet. And people are suggesting that I must be careful of infection. Now, my doctor is here from Kimberley. I am humbly asking, after the debate of this afternoon, I must ask them to bring the presentation.
So, what about the debate for Thursday? The water and environmental
affairs. That's why I'm telling you.
Because of the problem of members. Even me, I'm supposed to be impossible because I've been diagnosed as bronchopneumonia. Okay, I've been diagnosed as bronchopneumonia. I'm supposed to be impossible. But that's because of this problem. I've said to myself, hey, I must not go. I think I must, because I thought I must be in the hospital again. But I think the conditions are not right, the situation of the members. It means that there will be nobody in our committee to debate, even on Thursday. So I must sacrifice my life here. I do call the transfer staff waiting me outside to take me to hospital. But I'm sure the situation is not good.
Now with me it's even more critical because I have been the one that procedure for that. I must just wait until you come right.
I really thought, you know, we'll talk about it the Thursday one, but as long as today we're covered, we'll see on Thursday what I'm going to do. But the one that's going to do, they must know it's today.
But under his party, I think Mateve Liberty, you take him back.
Because I know. No, take him back. Because I know he's so progressive.
Very
progressive.